And on today's Windy City Queercast, Deb Pierce and I take you through tattoos and Facebook and friends. Yes, friends on Facebook and those other friends. And we are going to the Oscars. Kelly and I are bringing you our recap. So there's three lesbians on this big packed lesbo show.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 286. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
Hello, Toronto.
Hello, Chicago. How's it going?
It's good. It feels still like Canadian weather we're having.
Isn't it the strangest thing? We here in Canada, in Toronto specifically, have gone about a week and a half without any snow, maybe even 2 weeks without much snow. All of a sudden, the cold snap comes back and the snow comes back. And I really honestly had psyched myself into an early spring and was ready for it to come any second now. And I'm constantly and consistently surprised by the snow that we get. And it's still winter, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no, I have a prescription for some vitamin D and I'm hoping to get some very soon.
Very smart.
I need it.
It's snowing right now.
Ugh. So, hey, I hear that since we last talked, you have made a permanent commitment in your life.
Yes, and it has nothing to do with me and my partner.
Nope.
Not that kind of permanence.
Not a baby.
That's terrifying. It's not a baby. Nope. Although it's my baby.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's the closest thing I may get to a baby of permanence.
What is it?
I got a huge tattoo on my arm.
Huge.
It is from my elbow to my wrist, and it's an old-fashioned microphone.
Very cool.
Yes, and I'm very excited about it, and I can't believe how long it took me to get it, and I can't believe how much it hurt. And I can't believe that I have something permanent that I'm not regretting. And I am in love with it. I'm staring at it right now. I can't get enough of it. In fact, I have moments where, oh, my God, I haven't looked at it in 5 minutes.
Now, when you mean how long, do you mean it's taken you that many years? This is your first tattoo?
This is my first tattoo. I've never had anything tattooed or pierced, and I've always wanted to do my nipples. But then I feel like the person doing it, I might have to hit them in the head as just a, like a knee-jerk reaction of, get what you get. You know, just kind of that annoyance. Because pleasure and pain, like I really liked both together. And nipple piercing just seems, unless, you know, there's something going on, just seems like pain. But
okay.
The tattoo pain was euphoric. It was, I went into this weird zone thing.
So how many hours did it take?
2 solid hours.
That's not that long. I was thinking you were going to say, well, that's a long time for
That's a long tattoo time. That's a long time for sitting down and, yeah, and changing needles. And there'll be a picture, of course, during the show for you guys to have a look at. But
we'll put it on our show notes. You'll send it to Di.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm really excited about it. Everything is revolving around that. I've got an outfit for an event I'm doing tonight. Of course, the third week of February, of course I'm wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah.
It's freezing, and I've got a tattoo, so.
Yeah. Now you're in the lesbian club. I think you kind of have to have a tattoo to be in the lesbian club, right?
I'll tell you what, I hope not, but I feel like I am part of, it's funny you use that word, because I do feel like I'm part of a club, an unspoken club. I'm sure this is what motorcyclists feel, which is my next endeavor. And then, of course, swimming with sharks, in that order. I feel like I'm part of this club where, oh, you've felt the same pain I have, or you've decided to put something permanent that means something really, special to you on your body. I just feel like, I do. I feel it feels really special to me. And I mean, I have a bit of a flair for the dramatic, so I've really overworked it and really talked about it a lot on, on the radio and stuff. But it's a huge thing for me.
Now, when does it go through the scabby alien era? We're not going to get pictures of that. We're only going to hear the romance of the whole thing is what I
think.
Yeah,
right. The reality is it will probably be an imprint on my pillow at some point in the next couple of days. And I can't believe how much it's weeping. I'm so nervous to wipe it because I'm like, I can't touch it. The ink, it's going to wipe off. But of course, it's like a Sharpie, kind of. It doesn't really wipe off.
It's like a Sharpie.
That's as close to as permanent as I've got, as I've got in my life. And that's a pain in the arse to trying to get off. But a couple of days, it'll probably scab off a little bit. But that's part of the whole thing. And I was going to get Emla cream, like a little topical anesthetic, and then I decided, no, I've got to go through the pain of it, because that's the whole part of it, right? You go through the endorphin releasing stage. And let's be honest, maybe I'll also send a picture of me having a cup of courage, which I like to call tequila, beforehand. When we got to the parking lot, I took a huge gulp of tequila.
That helps.
And then I got upstairs and took another gulp of tequila, and then halfway through I thought, heck, I'm going to have some tequila. And then there was a sweet little guy in the same room as me from Prince Edward Island, and he's a construction worker there, and he was getting a huge piece put on his back, and he looked like he was going to cry. So tequila, of course. I offered him tequila.
You can bring tequila into those places?
Oh, you wouldn't believe this place.
You can bring crack cocaine into those places.
You could have
brought
heroin. Crack cocaine. Absolutely. You could have dropped your pipe in the middle and it said, excuse me, can I pick up my pipe? Like, it would have been fine.
Did you have a hot tattoo stylist? You know, you kind of imagine you had like a girl with jet black hair who looked like Betty Page,
Pat
but
Von
covered
D
in tats or
something. Rob was really, he was really cute.
Was he cute?
He was cute, actually. He was he's a total chronic, so nothing really affects him. He's just kind of in the zone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm going in there, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think it's going to hurt? I'm like, oh, I need to write it out. And then he's like, just okay, so here's what I've come up with. And I'm like, can you please get out of first gear just so that we can kind of be on the same page? But hell, listen, whatever he needs to do to be a great artist.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a hot woman, but there was a hot woman, Jamie, working there. And I needed the energy of a woman in there next to my sister. So she came up and watched for a little bit. So that was good because...
The hot woman or your sister watch?
The hot woman was a good thing to be in there for me because I need hot women.
Yeah.
You know, the pleasure pain thing.
To experience your butchy forearm, painful, ride a motorcycle, swim with sharks. This is the foreplay to those things, right?
That you've got it. You've got it. You're on to me completely.
Wow. Did your sister get a tattoo as well?
She sure did. She went first, and I was like, nope, not doing it. Great idea. Never seen you in that kind of pain before.
What did she get and where? Tales?
She was going to get 4 paw prints around her wrist. She's a massage therapist, and she loves dogs. So she's got a huge piece in the middle of her back now with a paw print and flames and stuff. It's stunning, but nobody, and I repeat, nobody, unfortunately, sees it. So she decided to do a little bracelet. Well, a little bracelet turned into 10 paws walking up her arm, and it's gorgeous.
Wait, so it's not around her wrist? It goes up the inside of her arm?
Yeah, well, it goes up halfway to her forearm, but it starts on her right near her ulnar, so right on the bone, and then going her in a circle in sort of little 2 feet prints, and a total of 10.
Oh.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. She's really happy with it. And it's all we talked about. We had beer for dinner last night. We were like, hey, we're inked. We've got to be rock stars.
You know, it's so funny because everybody's getting the tats these days. You know, I mean, Heidi Klum, what was she just on? And she's gotten the new one that's like Seal's name spelled backwards on the inside of her arm. And then it has these stars on the end for her kids.
Oh, nice.
But it looks very abstract. It does not look like it says Seal. It's like it's all one continuous thing. It's almost backwards designed looking. It looks like a emblem, but it's long and thin, goes up the inside of her arm.
I like that. I really like that. And the more I see it, I mean, I've always had a healthy respect level for that kind of commitment. You know,
it just seems so freaking painful, though, on that part of your arm. Like, I don't even like people to touch the inside of my arm where it bends. That's just like, oh, seriously.
Exactly.
It's so thin there, the skin. There's just, you might as well
really
tattoo my eyeball, for God's sakes.
I think you can.
Oh, no.
I think that's next. No.
Oh, no.
No, it is great. And it's it feels great. I have no regrets at all, at all. Which is really important because how can you get through? How can you, get that kind of thing and have any regrets around it, right?
All right, so I have a regret. That's
regret.
A good segue. You didn't even know you were giving me a segue.
What is that? What's your regret?
Here's the thing. We got a lot of listener comments in the past few shows, and I was going to do this at a different time in the show, but now's a good time. I don't know that it's a regret, but it's a pause. Let's call it a pause.
Okay.
In that I did a show with Alexander Billings, and you never know where shows with Alexander Billings are going to go.
She's outrageous.
She's outrageous. And definitely got a very interesting and impassioned comment from listener Tom, who loves listening to the show, but was really disturbed about my views about atheism on the show.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, Tom, that after I got off, after my partner, she hadn't even heard the show. We were just talking about what we discussed.
Yeah.
And then I had heard through our editor that I got a comment from a listener. And Kelly looked at me and goes, I don't even know if I can look at you right now that you made that comment. So, Tom, you're not alone. And I don't always say popular things. And I don't always say things that are right or maybe even what I fully believe in. But basically, I think, Deb, it stemmed off a show that you and I had talking about
religion and politics.
Exactly. Religion and politics. And in that conversation and in my conversation with Alex, we were discussing that and how shocked I was that you didn't know, that you didn't even know if what.
Right. I knew he was Christian. I knew he was passionate. But
well, you at least knew he was Christian. I didn't even know if you knew that. But so anyhow, we were just talking about it. And I made the statement that I thought it would be hard for me to vote for somebody who was an atheist.
Right.
And
which is such a hypothetical, pros anyway, right? I mean,
right.
Really.
It is a hypothetical pros. But, Tom, our listener, basically said, that kind of aligns you right with the people who vote for Prop 8. He did misguide in one way, and then he said, I wanted people who only believed in the same things I did. And that is not true, because there are many faiths I'm not. And I did indicate that I would have voted for anyone of any faith or any spiritual person. So I've gotten into a lot of conversations about this in the past week. And isn't that what it's all about, right? Like, really thinking.
Was Tom an atheist?
Tom is an atheist. And he basically indicated, and everybody can read his posting because it's obviously on the show, which is show number 283, and it's a good posting. But basically says, that he lives a life, he acts moral, he cares for others, volunteers for charities, and treats people with respect. And that basically, do I believe that he will burn in hell simply because he doesn't believe? And I never said that either. He doesn't say that I say that. He's saying other people.
Right.
And I get that,
Yep.
It's a limited perspective for people who think, And I did make the statement that I regret, which is that I said that atheists were generally sad people. I will tell you that the atheistic people who debate me on any kind of faith or religion constantly, to me, are not people that I would want to be like. Not because I find them immoral.
I want to take you to task on sad, as in unhappy, unfulfilled. What does that mean?
Say that again.
What do you mean if people are, if you're quoting yourself as saying sad, maybe you need
to define I just mean kind of bitter. Like, they don't seem to me as joyful and hopeful people.
Okay.
And actually, a few of them are people that I haven't seen really. I don't know. That is obviously a judgment. So that
you're
is my.
You're allowed to have opinions. This show is about
absolutely. That is my perception. That is entirely my perception. And I know some very. Hey, I know really Christian people who I think God, you know, be happy. Like, you know, so
yep.
It's not an across the board thing. You can be unhappy and be an atheist. You can be happy and be an atheist. You can be unhappy and be a Christian. You can be happy and be a Christian. You could be Buddhist. Most Buddhists I know are pretty chill.
So yeah,
maybe
yeah.
You can only be...
Truth be told.
Truth be told.
So that's one sweeping generalization I don't think a whole lot of people would debate you on.
Exactly. And the pagans and the Wiccas are pretty chill and happy as well. So maybe we should just all commune with nature or the Buddha.
You want to hug a tree right now, Amy.
Exactly.
Amy, I'm going to hug a tree.
Karmically hug a tree right now, and we'd be in bliss.
Well,
but anyhow,
thanks, Tom,
it was
for your
just,
comment. I think it's important to get that stuff.
Absolutely.
Right?
And Tom, I really appreciated it. It had me totally stirred up at 2 a.m. with my girlfriend, in which I was like, why are we talking about this at 1 o'clock? So, Tom, you have that much power. I'll just give it to you right there. But
religion and that kind of thing and the way you live your life and what you... You know, you not only live your life being the, you know, the most truthful, honest, authentic person that you can be, but you also, you know, people look to different spiritual powers for guidance. So it's something that you feel really passionate about. You are partially who you are because of a faith-based, you know, way of living for yourself. So of course it's going to come passionately to you because it's who you are and it's formed part of who you are, right?
Well, it has. And I also believe Tom and I are the same because he has a line where he says, I am curious and open to new scientific discoveries and theories about who we are and where we come from, rather than just accepting that God made it and that's the end of every inquiry and debate. And I want to tell Tom that I think he's already defined himself as a spiritual human being to me in that statement.
A creationist. Or
I mean, well, no, I'm not an evolution. I mean, I'm not an evolutionist. I mean,
I know, but what's
you know.
He saying with that?
Well, I think that he's just saying he's using the word God. And if he wants to say the scientific structure that is still being discovered, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
And to me, I think science and logic and reason can be a spiritual experience. So that was more of what I am saying.
And I'm not putting you and Tom, I'm not pitting you against each other in war, but there wouldn't be nearly the amount of struggle and strife worldwide and as far as wars and different beliefs if we were all on the same page with respect to, quote, end quote, religion. It does spark, you know, conversation at best.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's the dawn of time, right? Yep. It's all the great questions and the various ways in which we try to answer them or make them make sense to each and every one of us. And sometimes people come together and they choose to accept certain things, and sometimes other people reject those certain things. And, you know, I have no problem if you – I have no need for somebody to say God for me to vote for them. So I guess that was the point. You know, it's a spirit of a person. And I think I even said at that time that I obviously didn't vote for George W. Bush. And he would say he's a big card carrying, you know, Christian. And I don't see the spirit or the intent of his actions, which is a big thing that Tom comes back to. I very much believe in judging people in their actions and what they do and not what they say.
Right.
And so, Tom, thank you. And
thanks,
also...
Tom.
Fuck you, because I was up till 2 a.m., but it's been good, and it's been
good.
Fun.
It's fun,
and I love having listeners like you, and I really appreciate it, and Alexandria Buildings should be running for president. I agree. I said it on the show, and you agree with me, so the first transgendered president, Alexandria Buildings, is what we think. So
That's going under a pseudonym?
Yeah, well, people just think her name's Alexandria Billings. You obviously haven't listened to the show. See, I think you would have given me your fleck on that too, but...
Well, I will now.
Now you will. Now you will.
I will listen.
Now so will many, many more. You know, we have a really big show for you. Let's take a really quick break. Deb Pierce on the show with me this week. We've got two great shows this week. But let's go and do the news, and then we'll be back with Deb Pierce.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
Happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, what the hell was that about?
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion, and we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
People, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history, with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills, or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
A group of bills called the Common Ground Initiative that would have expanded GLBT rights has died in the Utah legislature. Measures were defeated that would have offered all unmarried couples, regardless of sexual orientation, inheritance rights, and another that would have banned sexual orientation discrimination in employment and housing.
In Pennsylvania, the trial has started in the case of Harlow Quadra, who was accused of murdering rival gay porn producer Brian Kosis. Quadra's co-defendant, Joseph Kourikis, pled guilty in December to second-degree murder and is serving life in prison without parole.
The Washington-based labor group Change to Win is contending that pharmacy chain CVS keeps open-access shelves of condoms stocked in higher-income areas while keeping the items locked in lower-income districts. Civil rights leaders, health advocates, and local residents gathered outside a CVS in Philadelphia to demand the chain cease the policy.
Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle's latest budget proposal includes domestic partnership protections. The fundamental protections would include hospital visitation rights and family medical leave rights for same-sex domestic partners.
Indiana's Senate Republican caucus has voted not to consider an initiative that would have proposed amending the state constitution to define marriage as being between a man and a woman.
Officials at Clara Barton Elementary School in Oxford, Massachusetts, sent a letter to parents announcing that the night janitor, who finished the previous school year as a man, would start the next year as a woman. Although some parents have called for the janitor to resign, school authorities have said they do not discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, who gained attention in 2004 when he issued marriage licenses to same-sex couples, and his wife are expecting their first child. Newsom has been raising funds and traveling in anticipation of running for the governor's seat next year.
The Reverend Fred Phelps, who leads the anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas, and daughter Shirley Phelps Roper have been banned from entering the United Kingdom. They had planned to picket a production of the Matthew Shepard play The Laramie Project at a school art center in Basingstoke, Hampshire. The father and daughter were banned because Westboro has called for violence against the LGBT community.
In Israel, out politician Nitzan Horowitz will introduce a legislative measure that would allow any couple to marry or have a civil union. Gays and lesbians have been gaining civil rights since the government overturned the law against sodomy in 1988, including the right to openly serve in the military since 1993.
On Monday, February 16th, the Emmy-winning 39-year-old soap opera All My Children on ABC aired the marriage of lesbian couple Bianca Montgomery and Reese Williams. It was the first ever marriage of a lesbian couple on scripted daytime television.
and actor James Franco had to milk a man dressed as a cow to earn his Hasty Pudding Man of the Year award at Harvard University in reference to his movie Milk. Franco wore a blonde wig, gold bra, and purple high-heeled shoes to accept the award. He was also handed a fake bag of marijuana for his role in Pineapple Express.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Deb.
Yes.
So I know
news you can use, friend.
You what?
That was news that you can use.
It is. There's so much news these days. I have to thank Andrew Davis, our editor of Windy City Times. And for people that want to read news as well more extensively, you know, you can always download our newspaper fully at WindyCityMediaGroup.com or WindyCityTimes.com every Wednesday. There's a brand new issue out, but we get all of our news from the paper. But I know many people now, you know, you and I especially, have talked a great deal about Facebook.
It's not on in the background here right now at all.
Oh, stop it. Is it really?
It
are you multitasking while you're recording with me?
No, it's just on. I'm in an office.
Uh-huh. So Michael Musto of The Village Voice, who I love, he did this whole column about, you know, fuck Twitter. I don't even know what it is. I don't want to be on it. I don't want to be asked to subscribe to it. And it was so fun because at the top of his column, there's a photograph with like six people and they had these brown T-shirts that say fuck Facebook on them. And I thought somebody should send me one of those.
Wow, is that your sentiment? Fuck Facebook?
I just don't want to be a part of it. And now aren't they saying that they own absolutely everything that you post? Isn't that the big new stink now?
Yeah, that's the newest thing that Perez Hilton got on.
So now they're going to own everything that Barack Obama puts on his Facebook page and he's the leader of the free world? I think that's a load of cripe. And he has a Facebook page, by the way. I'm sure he has 20 million friends.
The free world is a little bit capitalist, to say.
Whatever. I'm just saying, he probably has more friends than anybody, right? Well, maybe Jennifer Aniston does, because she was a friend, so she probably has more friends. I don't know.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
That was a friend within a friend. That was Facebook humor.
It was, it was my
humor. Oh, no, you've gone down the slippery slope of Facebook humor.
No, I have not.
You did. You just did. You made a friend reference.
Oh, stop it. I know I'm going to get hate mail now. I'm going to get people, you know, with long, impassioned comments about Facebook, and I really want somebody to convince me why I should join but this is the only two reasons people tell me. But you know, you can go on there and you can meet people from your past, from like elementary school that you haven't seen in forever. And I'm like, you know what? That really wouldn't change my life, eh? And then people say, you know, but it's such a great way to network for you, Amy. You're such a networker. And I'm like, I've been doing quite fine without Facebook for 10 years. Am I just slow to change, or is this thing really going to become something that I am so glad I didn't dip my toe into it because it's going to become some sort of...
I think using the expression become is too late. It has become. It is.
Yeah, but this is big deal that they're owning all of the content and they didn't tell everybody they've changed the terms of their agreement after they get everybody
I've
on.
Never
I find
read
that
anything.
Very I'm not, sinister.
I'm not a fine print reader. And I don't know why.
No, this is a change, Deb. That's what outraged so many people. This was not an original. They have now said this is a change. It's like your credit card company going, yeah, we know we told you it was this percentage, but now it's this percent, and there's a charge.
Yeah, that's not happiness.
I mean, are you informed on this? Because you really should start talking about it.
No, unfortunately not. All I know is that Perez Hilton wanted to change his profile or get off there, and they were going to keep some of his images.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I heard. And then I heard that they were going to seize some of the images because they were posted within Facebook.com. Even if it's your profile, it's still there's pictures that they have been facilitating you using. So they think that that's squatter's rights? What the hell is that about?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to get more informed, or maybe, listener, you know more than we do.
I'm sure they do.
Send us a message.
Really, the fact that they even listen, because I know Jack about most things. I just make it up as I go, folks. Really. I don't charge you, so, you know, I just make it up as I go. We sign no contract. It's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to check out things. I'm not going to go on right now, but I will check things out in the background, and I'll try to let you know. I will post a comment as to that information.
Yeah.
Scary. That's scary. I admittedly will have to rethink that because I don't want to be part of any of that stuff. Although, can I get out of it? Can I leave? I don't know.
Well, I think that's
Is it the Hotel California we can check out, but we can never leave?
I don't know. This is what I'm asking.
One smell of colitis. What the hell is colitis?
Don't know. You lost me there.
Well, it's an Eagles. It's part of the song.
Ah, there you go.
It's part of the Hotel California. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll find out about that for you.
That's not kind
that
of a song where you go.
I'm not here to change your mind. I'm not. I don't. Amy,
really, you don't care.
You're fine. You don't have to be on Facebook, frankly. That's
you're my
fine.
Friend. You know how to call me, Skype me now, and text
you're not the
me.
The easiest person to reach. You're one of the busiest lesbians in radio.
Email me.
But yeah.
But come on, you can get me quicker than you can get anybody, right?
You're pretty busy.
But that doesn't mean that you don't get me. It doesn't mean that I don't get your email or get your text or
that's true. That's
that you
true.
Can't Skype me or that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even have a team. Imagine if I had an entourage. You could, like, get me as I was walking to the bathroom, probably.
I would never want that. That is why I don't have a BlackBerry. I don't want that.
Well, good. I don't have a BlackBerry either.
No. See, that's the way I feel about BlackBerry. But frankly, Facebook has worked really well for me for networking as a performer, as somebody that doesn't live in the city that I work in and perform in. I'm able to – I've got literally – 1,000 friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, friends, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Aniston not being one of them.
Wow.
But she could be my very special friend.
I just saw Ross in a play this past weekend.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And?
He was not my favorite friend. It's hard to shake the Ross, you know?
Yeah.
I think I think with all the friends, they all are very lucky that they had that ride with that show, as would anybody. And I think they were all fabulous on the show. But I don't know if I think they're the best actors.
I don't think they were supposed to be. I think it was really symbolic of the time that we...
Yeah.
It was kismet. It was perfect timing. It was two strong forces coming together for what, you know, the TV population wanted.
But Lisa Kudrow is always Lisa Kudrow, and Matthew Perry is always going to be Matthew Perry, and Matt LeBlanc, who was my favorite friend, by the way, was always going to be Matt LeBlanc, and David Schwimmer is always going to be Ross, although he's become a director and other things, and I think he really has done a lot for his theater company here, Looking Glass, and all of that. So I very much respect him. And Jennifer Aniston is always going to be Jennifer Aniston, except when she has a Southern accent and she's miserable in The Good Girl, which I thought was the best thing she ever did.
I loved her in The Good Girl.
Yeah.
I think
the most talented friend is Courtney Cox. I think she has been the only one that has had roles, whether it be in Scream or whether it be in Dirt or other shows where I don't see... I don't see her character from Friends. I don't see Monica Geller.
Right. But Jennifer Aniston, even in an interview most recently with Ellen, is very Rachel.
Like she is Rachel.
Yes. But I do like her acting. It's really fun. But when you spawn off a television series like that, you're always going to be in, not a movie of the week, but you are always going to be cast in that light role. I mean, I've seen Jason Alexander on Criminal Minds. From Seinfeld, of course, and he played a disgustingly sinister serial killer and did a great job, but he was also really heavily makeuped and had long white hair and was kind of, and just played the creepy role.
Yeah, but he's really the only one out of that cast, too, that is remotely an actor.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody else is playing themselves. Or they weren't even really an actor. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of that show. So
the other ones do comment. Well, listen, we know what happens when Kramer tries to get on stage and be funny.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's true.
Wow, we've gone from regrets to friends.
It's a very natural flow from tattoos and friendships, pleasure and pain to friends.
You want to get a friendship
Facebook.
Tattoo with me about religion?
No. I'd like you to get a big religious tattoo on your ass.
On my forehead.
For
my ass.
Yeah.
My mom was mortified. I wasn't telling her. I was only talking about getting it before 8 o'clock in the morning because I know that she doesn't start listening before 8 because my dad doesn't get up before 8 and he turns on the computer because she listens in Florida, yada, yada. So all I heard from her was, well, yeah, I've got a change with the times and are you getting it small? Is it small? Are you getting it on your bum? She wanted me to get a small tattoo on my bum.
But isn't that usually the first tattoo? Like everybody goes and gets like a little tiny heart or a little daisy or a little yin yang or a little rose or
I'm
you kind of went
it,
for it, baby. That's like, that's like a go for it.
Yeah, that's a
that's hot
tattoo right there.
That's a tattoo right there.
I said it, I meant it, and I'm going to back it up with a foot-long tattoo.
Yeah, you did, too.
My mom was very sweet. She was very sweet, and I'm sure she thought it was my partner who has 9 tattoos. I'm sure she thought it was her influence, but no, it was her other firstborn.
Her firstborn.
Yeah, that convinced me. And my sister got it because I'm in my 40th year. It's for my 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And so there it is, and there you have it.
There it is, and there you have it. Hey, well, how did the night go with the Oscars? There it is, and there you have it. Two tattoo-less lesbians, we live together. Kelly, my partner, and I are going to give you our recap of the Oscar night this past Sunday. What did you think, and what did we think? And we always dish, and without much reservation, about the night. So we're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene, then Kelly and I are going to the Oscars.
Hi, I'm Chaz Palminteri, and I'm thrilled to be back on stage doing my play, A Bronx Tale. I wrote and performed The Bronx Tale almost 20 years ago when I was an unknown actor. Then one night, Robert De Niro came to see the play, and the rest, as they say, is Hollywood history. It's been a fantastic ride, but it's only the beginning. We just finished the run on Broadway, and the show was a big hit. And now, I'm bringing A Bronx Tale to you. Come meet all my pals, Eddie Mush, Frankie Coffee Cake, JoJo the Whale, and of course, Sonny. All the guys from the neighborhood will be there. That's right, I'm bringing the Bronx to life in your city. This ain't a movie, folks. It's just you and me. So come and see me perform A Bronx Tale. It's a story I love to tell. I think you'll love it, too.
Begins March 10th at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater. Music. Dance. Art. Performance. Provocative. Hilarious. Exciting. Weird. Innovative. Campy. Edgy. Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 23rd, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss Heather Woodbury's fantastic one-night-only performance of her one-woman show, Last Days of Desmond Nani Reese, A Stripper's History of the World, only at Steppenwolf Theater Company on March 3rd. For tickets, visit steppenwolf.org.
Shrouded in mystery, 6 ordinary people grapple with the emotional casualties of war in Old Glory, the latest work from Brett Nouveau, one of Chicago's hottest young playwrights. Playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe, Old Glory explores with fierce wit and gritty honesty what happens when you play by the rules and lose. Playing through March 29th, visit writerstheater.org for tickets.
Don't miss the dynamic Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago, March 13th and 14th at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, where world-class gifted artists bring to life a stunning repertoire of dance. Tickets start at just $15 each with the code WCT through March 1st. Visit harristheaterchicago.org and experience the magic that is Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago.
When the mistress is away, the maids will play. Don't miss the seductive French production, The Maids by Jean Genet at Writers Theater. The Chicago Sun-Times raves that the actresses are magnificent, and the Chicago Tribune calls it accomplished and provocative. Order your tickets for The Maids at writerstheater.org.
A Paris hotel, a loopy bellboy, an astute concierge, a naked bombshell, a society of pâté lovers, and 3 Americans. Throw into the mix Ducks in Harm's Way and Ooh La La, What Do You Have? Slap Happy, a romantic comedy with a taste of foie gras at Theater Building Chicago. For tickets to Slap Happy and more, visit slaphappyplay.com.
Now playing at Next Theater is Christopher Shin's Pulitzer Prize-nominated drama Dying City. This provocative and intimate portrait of identical twin brothers, one straight and one gay, reveals the explosive connections between sexuality and violence. Tickets for Dying City are at nexttheater.org. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Center on Halsted proudly announces the Party of the Season, the Human First Gala, Saturday, March 21st in the Grand Ballroom of the Hyatt Regency Chicago. Begin the evening at 6:30 with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, followed by the Human First Awards, honoring State Representative Sarah Feigenholz, State Representative Greg Harris, Mr. Joseph Lundy, and the Knight Ministry. then a delicious dinner and dancing with the sounds of Malik's Ultimate Band. The Human First Gala is Saturday, March 21st. Get your tickets now. For reservations, visit centeronhalstead.org. Valet parking is available. Dress is black tie optional. So I'm here with my partner, Kelly Simpkins, and we're going to do a little bit of our Oscar recap. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Good, yeah. Oscar show, right?
It was kind of hearkening back to the old days.
Yeah. The old days of...
Meaning very classy, very elegant, not mm-hmm. a lot of flash, really sparse, and mm-hmm. yet connected for the most part. And we've been talking about this all night, but how much we both really loved the honoring of those five actors coming out and presenting
yeah,
for their best supporting. And
in all four of the actor categories, they had past five winners each speak to one of the current nominees. I thought that was so moving. That was just made it so personal, especially a few people like Shirley MacLaine, really personal. De Niro, really personal to Sean Penn.
The first women I thought were the best, where all five of them kind of seemed very in sync. The best supporting actress.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them seemed like they kind of personally wrote that their own kind of mm-hmm. take on that person and was looking at them. I think it's hard when you have to go back to the cue cards and seem like you really mean what you're saying, but it's such a compelling idea and kind of made... It just started the night off with a really great... Kind
it
of
seemed
connecting
like a real
force
passing
to make
of
people
the torch.
Feel like they already won even before the announcement was made about who won.
Yeah, I felt like Anne Hathaway felt like I already won, and
right.
I felt like Viola Davis was sobbing from the beginning. You know, it seemed like she thought that she had already won, and Amy Adams was very teary, and you kind of got from them that the night got to be filled with that, the greatness of somebody great and who had won before. Speaking to that, I think obviously for us GLBT people, Milk winning Best Original Screenplay and Sean Penn winning and the writer winning Lance, what's his last name? Well, I want to say Lance Baker. That's a Chicago actor.
And Lance
that's
Black. Isn't
Lance
it?
Black. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how fantastic. Some really moving speeches about equality rights. Sean Penn saying how ashamed people are going to be for their grandchildren who voted for Proposition 8. You know, Lance speaking to the fact that how he heard of Harvey Milk when he moved to California and how that changed his life and told him, you know, that he could be whatever. And very moving for him. I saw him crying during Sean Penn winning and just,
yeah, know. And I guess I had read this because I know that the Phelps people just got... they were not allowed to go into the UK.
Oh, yeah.
They
we
were
gonna did that on the news.
Protest the production of the Laramie Project.
Yep.
And they were supposed to be at the Oscars, which Sean Penn, I guess, was...
He referenced.
Referencing that.
That the,
being
picker,
at the
picketers.
Yeah. The yeah. hate that they had to walk through to get there.
Yeah. And I think that it's powerful because I think that Milk ended up actually having some momentum tonight. And I was really sad. I felt like going in that the film kind of had lost some momentum, probably because of the huge groundswell of Slumdog Millionaire, obviously the big,
yeah.
the big, big film of the night.
And, well, it'll get its momentum back now. You know, when people win Oscars and screenplays win Oscars, whatever an Oscar is kind of floats around in terms of that film, it'll just get a big upsweep
yeah.
now, which is really incredible.
Well, and also, too, you know, it's been since Brokeback Mountain, which has not been that long, and of course Heath Ledger won as well tonight, but, you know, even in the romance section, they did the clipped sections of comedy and action, and when they did romance, you were sitting here on the couch, and you're like, oh, come on, show Harvey Milk kissing somebody, and then the next image was Harvey Milk, you know, Sean Penn kissing the cute James Franco, and then James Franco in the comedy bit watching him, you know, himself
yeah,
as the stoner
really,
character,
funny.
Which was really, really funny. So,
I also thought that the whole thing tonight was, I find them so phony and so padded. You know, just so padded with their own egos. And
what do you find funny? The speeches? Or the introductions to people?
The Oscars themselves. I just find them so kind of businessy. You know, and as Jackman said on that thing, I want to bring the show back and have more show and less biz. And I kind of felt like it was less phony, less in its own ass and much, much more simplistic and much more connected and just much more earnest.
Well, in that way, it wasn't gay then if it was not in its own ass.
Well, that's probably true. It had its gay moments. It probably didn't have enough gay moments.
Yeah.
For the people who like the big splashy things.
But I actually thought it had huge splashy things. The big number with the top hats, Beyonce singing was a pretty big number. Latifah sang. Come on, that's pretty gay. I mean, you know, Latifah, we know you ain't, but we know you is.
She had a beautiful voice on
that.
She's
great. I love her. And I thought there was just a really deep feel to the show tonight, which I really enjoyed and really felt like, you know, in that regard, it just felt more personal. It felt much more personal and a lot less scripted, and people were reading cue cards that they didn't really enjoy, except for the Ben Stiller moment and maybe Jennifer Aniston seeming a bit uncomfortable.
But that was weird.
With the Aniston in front of the Angelina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Made me feel uncomfortable. She didn't know what to do with her hands. Although the Steve Martin,
Tina Fey, Tina Fey.
I liked it. It was simple. It was elegant. It was classy. The numbers were of old Hollywood.
Hugh Jackman did well?
I thought he did well. Yeah. He was out of the way enough not to become annoying and yet did what he did well and got the hell off.
Yeah.
There was no, you know.
I loved the surprise factor, too. Of course, this year they didn't announce who was even going to be presenting. And obviously they didn't do
you
that.
You could have been a presenter.
It was
that surprising.
It would have been surprising, right?
That would have
we would have been
surprising.
Having a much different type of Queercast right now. But I thought it was fantastic that they didn't do that because there was such a... After the very first category was supporting actress and you realize they were going to do that and have five giants on stage, everybody from Sophia Loren to Ben Kingsley to Marion Cotillard to Tilda Swinton, who we love.
Who we love. She looked gorgeous, didn't she?
Your doppelganger. Yes, she did. Okay, hottest women... And can you say hottest looking men? I know, guys. I think James Franco is just the cutest little rub-a-dub-dub.
He is.
No wonder everybody wants to kiss on him. And a great line, too, from De Niro of, who can imagine that Sean Penn's been playing all these straight men all these years?
That's true. It was a great line.
Great line.
It was his line. That was not scripted. Had to have been
his
line.
Had to have been his. But who was, do you think were really, looked beautiful?
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Penelope Cruz, I thought, looked pretty beautiful. Although the bang went from too far back to go forward.
Okay.
In for my personal taste. And it was only a little section. It's not like the
very
whole
Audrey
bang.
Hepburn, though.
Very Audrey Hepburn.
She's so beautiful. Just her little spirit I find so beautiful. I thought Anne
Halle Berry. I am Berry Boswick.
I'm Halle Berry.
I thought she looked gorgeous. I'm trying to think who else there was.
She looked stunningly gorgeous.
Who else were there?
Angelina Jolie did it for you?
No, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I just didn't care.
Are she and Brad Pitt just becoming so, like, oh, and you know, the Heidi Klum. The Heidi Klum's always pretty. Are she and Brad Pitt just becoming almost like without personality and almost plastic to
they're
you?
Too,
they are for
they're
me.
So stoic. They're so stoic and distant. And
yeah,
she's like, go home, play with your kids.
Yeah.
You know, connect.
Yeah,
don't bother us with your
ooh
plasticine.
I really thought Anne Hathaway looked quite beautiful and enjoyed her kind of
Robin Wright Penn. I'm sorry. I'm just,
yeah.
it's just clicking.
Yeah.
Not
Robin,
that many people.
Yeah. Robin Wright Penn looked quite beautiful.
Marissa Tomei. I would say Tilda, Halle Berry. Robin Wright Penn. And who else did I say?
Penelope Cruz?
Yeah.
Now, I just thought that little, if I was a gay guy, that little writer from Milk, I just think he's adorable.
He is adorable.
He is adorable.
He's adorable.
And of course, I mean, I think they think Brad Pitt's cute, so guys, I'll give you that if that's what you think.
Oh, baloney. Sean Penn, I thought, looked very handsome. I think he's a very sexy man.
And I thought that
Diane Lane.
James Franco. I didn't think it was Diane Lane's greatest night. She's had more beautiful nights.
Well, the dress was not...
There was a lot of architecture with these dresses that I found distracting in their bodice work, like their shoulders and...
It was like
these...
skyscraper dresses or something.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre.
Yeah.
Why can't they have an Oscars where all the women wear suits and ties?
Ooh, that would be sexy.
That would be a sexy Oscars.
That would be the gay Oscars.
McClane
right
had a jacket and pants on.
Yeah.
You know, dumb it down. Who cares who you're wearing? Why do they ask that?
Well, because it's a night that they get to get dressed up.
I know, but do people really care?
I don't know. Would you like to walk in a fantastic Gucci suit or, you know, thousands of tens of thousands of dollars Armani suit or something?
God, I don't know.
Yeah, you would.
I'm sure I would, but I wouldn't care who any... I don't care who anybody's wearing.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. I know. I'm in a very small pool of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, I have to say, I think it was a hit. And Hugh Jackman, maybe he'll be there next year. And Slumdog Millionaire, obviously the film to see if you have not seen a film. And Milk... Shame on you if you've not seen Milk and you're listening to this Queercast. Run, don't walk, and go see the story of Harvey Milk.
And go see The Wrestler. I have such a soft spot in my heart for that Mickey Rourke. And
I'm
so happy that Sean Penn won, but I had a little hope that he was going to win and would have loved that with his little dog pendant and dog brooches.
Yeah, because his dog died.
His dog died
a
week ago, right?
One of them. He has one more. He has more dogs. We think it was a thumbs up Oscars and a good new year to watch movies. And, I don't think they'll get this gay again for a little while. So, we will, we'll just wait and see how the next year goes. And,
did you want to mention, thank God, forgive you wrote some notes down here.
Oh, I just wrote that I love that the writer for Milk said, thank God. He said, I want to thank you, God, for giving us Harvey Milk.
This is a beautiful line.
Beautiful line. Ah, the Oscars. So much fun. Deb, thanks so much for being on with me. It feels like a while since we've talked, but maybe it's just because there have been such events in your life.
I think there's been a lot of changes. I think there's a lot going on with me and my body and making choices in my 40th year. Because you know what? You only live this life once, and now my fear of permanence has obviously been abandoned. And I'm just, every day, I see disgusting things happening in the world, and I think every day is a gift, and I don't want regrets, frankly.
Yeah. So now it's, don't you think that baby goes somewhere in between tattoo, motorcycle, baby swimming with sharks? I mean, those are the other big commitment things, right?
Maybe I should swim with baby sharks.
Or maybe swim with baby sharks.
I don't know about the baby now, Amy. I'm hitting 40. My partner's not hitting 40, but she'll keep reminding me she's a whole year younger. And we got a puppy, and we're working with that right now.
Because there's a lot of babies, the Angelina Jolie look like a woman. She probably has now, with 14,
she gets barely
a handful to at least give some deserving gay and lesbian couples, don't you think?
Oh, she's so crazy. That's so crazy, and that is such a legal issue between fertility and your great nation of healthcare. That's ridiculous. I can't believe she was allowed to do what she did.
Yeah.
I don't know what doctor she was sleeping with, but she's in foreclosure in her home. Kind of hard to afford all that fertility stuff, let alone feeding mouths.
Well, and her father is going on Oprah today, so we'll see how that goes down. And I
mental
don't
health issues much. Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing when Oprah goes on the show and is like, here, let's adopt some 80 dogs from a puppy mill out to any listener who wants one. And another thing to go, there's 14 kids living with a woman who thinks she's Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that's so strange. Like, anyway, there was a picture of her on the magazine stand today, of course, People and Us, those magazines. Literally, Angelina's on one. Crazy McFertile Pants on the other, and they look like they're trying to be the same. She looks like she's trying to be Angelina Jolie, and why people, I don't know what bells didn't go off with these doctors.
Yeah.
And what kind of moral dilemma, and that's a whole different show altogether, what kind of moral dilemma happens when you impregnate somebody with the exact amount of eggs that you were going to try with? What happens legally? What happens morally? What happens religiously? You know?
Only in America. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy story. I don't even know. Obviously, she said she wanted more kids, and you wonder if this whole Angelina and Brad adopting a tribe and having a tribe is what she's trying to model. I have no idea.
Yeah, except they've got endless amounts of money.
Yes.
They're in a loving relationship.
Yes.
They pay their bills on time. They contribute to society, and they go through the proper channels of adoption.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're doing anything wrong.
I'm just pointing out the obvious because, you know.
Yeah.
Do I think that they should have that many kids? I don't know. Who am I to judge? That's a lot. Are their parents really rearing them? Are they sitting at home watching TV? Or are they being nanny camped? I mean, are they being looked after by nannies? Who knows? These are the amazing stories that happen in our lifetime, like a Chastity Bono, ooh, Cher had a kid. I wonder what she'll turn out like. Or, you know,
Yay.
Elvis had a daughter. Yeah, right? Elvis had a daughter. I wonder what she'll turn out like. You have to wait for these people to grow up to see what it was exactly like, and even that is perception, right? So I just wish them well and you know, healthy. You know, I hope her babies are healthy, and then I hope that they're cared for by foster parents.
Yeah.
You know?
This is why. You know, there are all these things that could stimulate the economy, and I said it before, but utilizing the GLBT community would be a great way to stimulate the economy. Gay marriage, stimulate the economy. Gay adoption, stimulate the economy. I mean, and solve the problem of so many kids being in the system and needing governmental money. It's just, you know, we are the solution, the GLBT community.
We what? Say
we're the
again?
Key. We're the solution.
We are.
We're the solution to many
we're
problems.
We're not part of the party. We're not part of the problem. We're part of the party.
Yeah, we are.
Yep.
We're totally a part of the party. Hey, on our next show, Deb Pierce is going to be back with me. Plus, we're going to have on the show Lucy. Lucy, I'm home. It's
you got
not
some
that Lucy.
You got some poetry to do.
Yeah, you got some poetry to do. It's not that Lucy, but Lucy, our fantastic winner of Gays Got Talent. She's a fantastic, can I use that word enough? Brilliant. Courageous, funny, bold poet.
Art, insightful, boundary pushing. She changed something that night. She changed the composition of that room at that bar. She did.
Yeah, she really did. And you're going to hear why, especially if you're not in the Chicago area and you were not able to come to Sidetrack for the Gays Got Talent finals in January, where Deb Pierce and I hosted and awarded Lucy the big grand prize. But she's going to be on the show. We're going to talk about a little bit about her life and about her poetry. And I'm super excited about that. Plus, you're going to get to hear the two pieces that helped her take the whole thing all the way to the finish line and be crowned the winner. So that coming up on the next Queercast. Deb, have a really good week, and maybe you'll be scabbing by the time that we talk to you next.
Maybe I'll be scabbing, maybe you won't be Facebooking, but either way, we'll be in touch.
We will.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.